Keep it open in front of you, please. If you've got it there with your Bibles, we'll be looking at it. But let's pray as we come into it. Lord God, you desire fruit from your church. You have called us to be a fruitful people. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. I pray that as we look at your word, you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would build us up, that you would prune us, and that you would make us more fruitful for our joy, for your glory, and for the good of the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So recently, I planted a cherry tree. I planted a cherry tree in the backyard. I took some advice from someone who knows about plants, thanks to you. I dug a very big hole, which I've got to say was no mean feat, in the Canberra clay. I enriched the soil. I built up a mound that would drain well. I went to a very helpful nursery in Pialago, I can tell you which one later, who gave great advice. They took me down, they stood me in front of all the cherry trees, they talked me through all the different varieties. They were very helpful. When I got to the counter, they actually pruned and shaped the tree for me so that when it left the nursery, it was actually pruned up right how it should be, which is not what I would have done if I did it at home. I've been watering it, I've been looking after it, I've been kind of every couple of days going out and checking on the cherry tree, seeing where the buds are up to. It's very exciting. So Ariana has been watching all this work that's taken place, the ongoing saga of the cherry tree, and eventually she asks a question that is on everybody's mind: when will we get cherries? Because that's the question, right? All the work, all the pruning, all the effort, all the digging, all the enriching, everything that we've been doing is so that one day, come December, I'm going to get myself a bumper crop of cherries. That's why I planted a cherry tree. I like cherries. All the work is so that I can enjoy the fruit. How would Jesus describe what he wants from his church? How would Jesus describe it? A powerful church? A successful church? A large church? No. What he wants is a fruitful church. A church that is fruitful. Church that bears good fruit, just like a gardener who tends for and cares for and waters and prunes his garden. God wants to see fruit. God wants to see his church bearing fruit. If you want a plot summary of John's gospel, if you want in a nutshell, what's John's gospel about? It's about this: Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world with a mission to reveal God's glory and to rescue and redeem people into his kingdom. Now, at this part of John's gospel, he's preparing to leave. He's preparing to go back and ascend back to his Father. And so he's preparing his disciples for his departure. And in this passage, he's teaching them about what it means to be fruitful, what it means to live a life of fruitfulness. What does it mean for his disciples to bear fruitful lives? I'm going to keep this morning short. It's a miracle! But we are going to briefly look at this passage, and then I'm going to look at two questions. So we're just going to look at this briefly, and then I want to ask two questions before we move on to other things. So this passage is in two parts. We've got the image of the vine and the branches. It's the first half. And the second half is an explanation of what the image actually means. What is Jesus actually saying by that image? So let's just read that image again. Just open it up, keep it there. Chapter 15, and we're going to start at verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." It's a beautiful picture. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. He is at the center, and his life and his power and his energy flow through us. God will prune and clean the branches, i.e. us, so that we bear fruit. God's going to cut out the dead wood to make room for fruitful branches. If there is no evidence of fruit, the branch is cut out. Now, that might sound harsh, but if you understand fruit trees, old, dead, unproductive growth is not harmless. It's not just hanging around harmless, it's actually preventing the plant growing fresh, new, productive growth that does bear fruit. And what God wants from his church is fruit. He wants to see the fruit. I think the most important thing about this passage is that we are totally dependent on Jesus to produce the fruit that he desires. We are dependent on Jesus to produce that fruit. If we don't remain in him, if we're not connected to him, if his life doesn't flow into us, his power and his spirit doesn't flow into us, we cannot produce the fruit that he desires. It makes sense, doesn't it? If I cut the branches off my cherry tree, if I go home, cut off all the branches, stick them there and just leave them on the ground, come December, I'm not going to have cherries. That's obvious. You know that. I know that. No one expects a dead branch lying on the ground to produce fruit. And in the same way, we need to be connected to Jesus with his life and his spirit flowing into us if we are to bear fruit. So, here are the two questions I want to look at today. First one is, what does it mean to remain in Jesus? What does it actually mean to remain in Jesus? And the second question is, what does it mean to bear fruit? What is this fruit that Jesus actually desires in his church? Firstly, what does it mean to remain in Jesus? Because that's the key to our fruitfulness. Without that vital action, active connection, we are powerless to produce fruit. So how do we remain? Because that's the important bit. How do we remain in Jesus? Well, the second half of the passage sort of spells that out for us. It explains the image that Jesus used. Look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. To remain in Jesus means that we are connected to, motivated, empowered by his love. It's his love that motivates. It's his love that drives us. It's his love that we go back to again and again and again and remember and be reminded and look at it again and experience it again and ask Jesus to show us again. Remaining in Jesus is about returning to and being reminded of his love, looking at his great work for us on the cross, looking at the great power that he gives us in his spirit, looking at the dozens of ways that he has showed his love to us in practical ways, looking at the way that his love has been expressed to us through the family of God. We return again and again and again to that love. We don't get old. It doesn't get old. We don't get bored with it. We go back to that well again and again and we drink. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commands, says Jesus, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. We obey. We obey Jesus and remain in his love. We talked about this last week, I think it was, about obedience and love and the way that love and obedience go hand in hand. You can't say you love Jesus if you aren't going to obey him. You can listen to more about that on the website. I'm not going to go much into that because we looked at it last week. But Jesus repeats it. Remaining in him involves obedience to his commands. Don't call him Lord if you're not going to follow what he says and obey what he commands you to do. Verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Remaining in Jesus is about sharing in his joy. He pours his joy into our hearts and his joy is made complete in us. We go to his love and we discover this God who loves us, this God who cares for us, this God who's paid this incredible cost to show us his love, and we remember it and we're reminded of it. And out of that love, we obey. We choose to walk in obedience to this God who is good and does what is right and just. And as we love and as we obey, we find that his joy is poured into us. It's the doorway to our joy. That's what it means to remain in Jesus, to constantly walk in and remember his love for us, to walk in obedience, reciprocating that love, and we find that that leads to joy for us. Now, there's a pattern in John's gospel. There's a pattern that we've seen again and again. Jesus was loved by the Father. He obeyed the Father. He had joy in the Father. And as he goes back, Jesus prepares his disciples that we would be loved by Jesus, that we would obey Jesus, that Jesus' joy would be made complete in us. That exact pattern that we've seen lived out in the life of Jesus on the pages of John's gospel is the pattern for all of us as we follow Jesus. The Christian life is about dependence. The life of the branch to the vine. That's the heart of Christian life, a life lived in dependence on God. And in fact, I want to actually go further. I want to actually say, you know, I think the heart of human flourishing is in dependence upon God. That's how we are made. That's how we were designed. This reality is set up that creatures like us would live in dependence on God. You might think that dependence sounds horrible. To live a life dependent on God sounds horrible. To live a life of obedience sounds restrictive. And it is true. Sometimes God's ways are hard. Sometimes when he is pruning the branch, it is painful. But the heart of God is that we would live lives that are fruitful. God is not trying to restrict you or stifle you or cramp your style. God wants to work in you so that you flourish. As your creator, he's designed us to live in a loving, dependent relationship. That's who we are. To fight against that, it's to fight against who we are. And we find that as we live in love and experience that relationship, as we walk in obedience to his good commands, we aren't stifled. We're actually set free. We're actually set free to follow him as we were always meant to. That is the heart of human flourishing. I sometimes wonder if for us, if the great threat to our faith and our fruitfulness is that we are by nature so self-reliant and so distracted. Probably more than any other time in history, we are self-reliant and distracted people. We pride ourselves in not ever needing any help, in being totally independent, totally self-sustaining. We take pride in it. We've made a virtue out of independence. Someone standing on their own two feet, looking after themselves, getting it done for themselves, carving their own path. Now, there are some good things about that, but when that is a virtue, when independence becomes a virtue, to the point where we have lost connection with anybody else and lost that dependent connection with our Creator, that is not good. And we are very busy and distracted. We don't allow ourselves any time to think, no time to pray, no time to grieve, no time to listen, no time to actually invest in people. We forget. I think we forget that we are a branch that cannot flourish outside the vine. Christianity is about a vital, living connection, his love, his grace, his goodness flowing through us. Here's the second question. What does it mean to bear fruit? If we remain in him, we're going to bear fruit. He's appointed us to bear fruit, fruit that will last. He's going to prune us so that we'll be more fruitful. He's going to remove any unfruitful branches so that the other branches can get some sunlight and produce fruit. So what is the fruit? Well, there's been many different answers to that. As people have come to this passage, they've proposed all sorts of things. What is the fruit? Some are going to say it's about evangelism. It's about sharing your faith, people coming to faith. It's about evangelistic witness, sharing the gospel and seeing people come to faith, and that's the fruit. Some people are going to point to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, those wonderful things that are formed in our character when we follow Jesus, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Some people are going to point to the obedience that Jesus talks about, obeying his teaching and commands, and that's the fruit. When we obey the goodness that comes from that, that's the fruit. Some people are going to point to the self-sacrificial love in verse 12. Look again at verse 12. It's a repeat of something we looked at a couple of weeks ago. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you stand in a big circle this week. Some people are going to say it's an answer to prayer. In verse 7, he talks about answering prayer. In verse 16, he talks about answering prayer and that the fruitfulness is about answering prayer. Some people are going to say, you know what, it's about glory going to God, glory going to the Father. That's what he says at the end of this, that if we bear fruit, we'll give glory. You know what? I don't think there's any one thing in mind here. I don't think you're supposed to look at that list and go, well, which is it? What's the fruit? It's no one thing. It's all of it. Because it's not like Jesus says, I don't care that there's no fruit of the Spirit. Okay, I don't care about love, joy, peace, etc., as long as you see people coming to faith. So you can be unloving, cranky, totally stressed out, impatient, but as long as people come to faith, that's fine. No, he doesn't say that. He wants both. He doesn't say, I want you to love each other, okay? Just love each other, be nice to each other, love each other, but don't worry about obeying me, okay? That was just another thing. Really, I just want you to love each other. That's the fruit and the obedience. Well, that's an added extra. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you know, I want you to obey my teaching and my commands, but don't worry about prayer. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about prayer, asking for it. He doesn't say that. It's all of it. It's the whole lot. Because Jesus' presence flows into everything. It messes up everything. He gets his fingers in everything, into our behavior, into our relationships, into our work, into our character, into our desire to share faith. He shapes everything as we are connected to him. His life, his energy, his power spills out of us in 100 different ways. And our character changes. And we're telling people about the wonderful life that we found in Jesus. And we are walking in obedience and we're learning to love one another. And we are praying because we know we are dependent on him to do anything. All of it. There's a community garden in Darlinghurst. And it's one of those community gardens that the people are really actively involved. A lot of people come. They had some fun with grafting one day. They got this stone fruit tree. And decided that as a group they were going to mess around with grafting. And so what they did was they got a whole bunch of different limbs from a whole bunch of different types of stone fruit and grafted it into the one tree. Okay, so they grafted in a peach tree limb into the tree. So there's this peach tree limb. And then they grafted in a nectarine limb over here. And then they grafted in an apricot limb tree over here. And so the cool thing is, isn't that cool? All through the year, this one tree will make peaches and nectarines and apricots and plums and cherries and all the different types. They made a fruit salad tree. How cool is that? Can you imagine you've got one tree and you just have a veritable fruit salad that fruits all around? Isn't that cool? That's the Christian life. All of Jesus' life flowing into you, shaping you, changing you, and all of the fruit flows out into the world. If you're grafted into Jesus, everything is going to be shaped by him. He is the root that affects the fruit. Love toward each other. Love and grace and forgiveness and peace growing here among us and toward others. Obedience to Jesus, people who walk faithfully according to him, with their eyes set on him, walking after him. People coming to faith. People putting their trust and hope because they can see Jesus in us. The fruits of the Spirit, all that wonderful list of love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and self-control and all the others that I just forgot. Seeing prayer answered. people crying out to God in prayer fervently and seeing God answer prayer and God receiving honor and glory, everything that is due to his magnificent name. All flowing from Jesus into you, out into the world. Now, I could finish up here by asking about the fruit of your life. I could ask you to examine, what's the fruit of your life? What is the fruit of your life looking like? What's the output like? And it's worth doing that. It's worth examining your life. What is the fruit of my life actually like? But I don't want to ask that. I want to finish by asking, what is feeding your life? What is the root that is feeding the fruit of your life? Because the key to fruitfulness is how much you're remaining in him. We are dependent creatures. Ours is the life of the branch to the vine. We go again to his love. We walk again in obedience. We let his joy take shape in us. That's the question. Are you remaining in him? Is he nourishing and sustaining and feeding your life? For some of you, you might want to actually take the first step. Maybe you actually, this whole Jesus thing is totally new to you, but it sounds good and it sounds like something I want to be a part of. And you want to come and say, you know what, I haven't been living a life connected to Jesus, but I want to. Well, we can pray together. We can start that journey. And I'd be more than happy to pray with you if you would like to do that. But for some of us, we just need the reminder that Jesus is the one that needs to empower our life. He's the one that needs to pour his life into us. And I just want to say very simply, very practically, why don't you set aside a part of your day to remind yourself of Jesus' love, to commit yourself to obeying him, and to pray that he would bear good fruit with you. Such a small thing, such a simple thing, to daily connect with Jesus and say, Jesus, remind me of your love. I want to obey, I want to follow you, and would you bear your fruit in my life? Let's pray. Let's pray and we'll ask that God would do that. Yeah? Let's pray. Jesus, we are dependent on you. You are the vine and we are the branches. These lives that we live, all of it was made to be connected to you. Lord, we believe as your people that life is best lived when we are connected to you. When your life pours into us and when your love flows out of us, Lord God, we confess sometimes we're so busy, we're so distracted, we think that we don't need you and we forget. Or we know that we need you and we just forget and we let other things crowd you out. But you are the source, you are the vine, you are the one we need. Would you work in us? Would you let your love pour into us? For anyone who isn't convinced, anyone who doesn't know your love, would you assure them? Lord, would you help us to walk in obedience to you, empowered by your Spirit, walking one foot in front of the other after our Lord? Would you make your joy complete in us? We know, Lord, that the life you call us to is not misery, it's not drudgery. It's a life where your joy is made complete in us. So would you work in us, Lord? And I pray for our church, Lord, that we would be fruitful, that we would have the joy of love and character and people coming to faith, a greater measure of holiness, and all the good that you have called us to and that you promise for us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.